So when we left Jesus last week, he was in the temple teaching. And so who was there in the temple? The Pharisees, and who else? The Sadducees and all the religious leaders, right? And Jesus had given three parables. And what did we say the meaning of the parables was? You had a sheet. What was the meaning of the three parables? They were judgment. Because of what? Failure to obey God. Failure to obey God. Remember the parable of the son who didn't do what God said? The parable of the wedding guests who rebelled against God and wanted to do it his way? The parable of the wedding guests who refused to come to the invited wedding feast? And what happened to them is that they were going to be thrown out. Now, where we're picking up is, what did that audience understand Jesus to say? Did this fly over their heads? Verse 15. Verse 15. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. So we know that they understood the parables. And it made them mad as heck, didn't it? And so they pulled off together to decide how they might trap him in what he had said. So they laid three traps. Three traps. And if any one of these traps, the first one's going to be political. So if he fails, falls into this trap, they can turn him into the Romans. If he falls into these theological traps, they can declare that he is null and void. So here are three traps. They're going to see whether or not they can trip Jesus up by his own words. Now, we've just had all these Supreme Court justice trials and things on television. And weren't they trying to trap Kavanaugh with his own words? So this particular kind of attack has not changed, has it? There is nothing new under the sun. Let's see how Jesus handles this. Does he claim the Fifth Amendment? And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any." Now, there's a little catch in here. The Pharisees sent the Herodians and the disciples of the Pharisees to Jesus. If you were in that day and time, that would raise red flags to you. Because the Pharisees and the Herodians did not like each other. This is a great example of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And these groups, that the one thing they have against Jesus is, you know, this pulling them all together. Nobody likes him. All these parables apply to all of them. They're all falling under judgment. So on this board over here, I have the three groups arrayed against Jesus. And before we go any further, let's look at these three groups so that they'll make sense to you. The first group is the Pharisees. Who remembers, we have met them before. Who remembers what the Pharisees are like? Who are they? You're getting there, Janet. Good for you.
Lawyers?
Yes.
They know the law.
The scribes and the Pharisees, yes, they're educated. The Pharisees are the middle class. You'll see why this matters in a minute. They're middle class. They were probably the merchant class. And so they have time to study. That's going to matter. Remember the apostles say, well, if they're not going to get into heaven with all their time to study, who could possibly get in? They have time to study. Okay. Now, the Pharisees as a group arose about 400 B.C. And Janet brought to our minds the fact that the single greatest thing other than crossing the Red Sea and coming into the Holy Land that had happened to the Jews was the Babylonian captivity, where they were captive by Nebuchadnezzar and taken out of their land, and the land was destroyed, and they were kept captive for 70 years, and this is all in the book of Daniel. So when you get the Pharisees and the Jews begin to come back to their land, they say, you know, we missed it. We went into captivity because we were not obedient to God, which was true. So we're going to make sure we don't ever do that again. We're going to learn the law so well, we cannot miss it. And remember, we've talked about how it's so possible we all have that little Pharisee in our own hearts. You know, they would fence the law around with walls so that when we've talked about all their rules and regulations, the 600 rules and regulations that they had so that you couldn't transgress the Sabbath. You know, you couldn't walk from here to there. You know, on the Sabbath, you couldn't cook, you couldn't pick things up. And then they worked all these different ways around it. Remember that? Yeah. All comes out of wanting to keep the law so they don't get punished again. 400 B.C., this group arises, and they begin to become teachers and study, teachers and students of the law. And they're all over Israel. They're in every little town. We'll go back in just a minute to what they believed. The Sadducees, we're going to come up with them. They're going to be in this trap. Who are the Sadducees? Oh, they are. They're wealthy. They're the elite.
They don't believe in the resurrection.
Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. No, they do not believe in the resurrection. We'll get to what they believe in a second. They have been Greek educated. Remember, that is the highest education you can get. They have been educated in Greek. Do they support the Romans? Do they support the Romans? They have a conflict. They have conflicting support of the Romans.
They have what?
Conflicting support. They support the Romans only because it's keeping them safe, not because they think it's the best thing. But the Romans have them in their place and support their leadership, so therefore they support the Romans. It's a conflict. It's not wholehearted support. I'm going to jump down just a minute and say one more thing about the Sadducees. What are the Sadducees in charge of? The temple. These are the Levites. Now, not every Sadducee is a Levite, but every Levite is a Sadducee. So these are the Levites. Okay? Not every Sadducee is a Levite, but every Levite is a Sadducee. All right, now, Margaret Ann has brought up beliefs, but I want to come back yet to the Herodians before we get there. Where does this word come from, Herodians? Herod, good. And who were the Herods? They were the kings.
He was a
Herod was a king. What tribe was Herod from?
Judah.
No. That was a good guess. The Levites are the priestly tribe. What tribe? Cindy, do you know? Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. They were from Idumea. They were not Jewish. They were from Idumea. They were not Jewish. The Herods. The Herodians. But so the Herods were not Jewish, but they had lived. This is the third group. They had lived in Israel a long time. Who had made the Herods king? Oh, yes, you're so good. They had made the Herods king. Okay, so, and there have been three Herods. Unto this point, we're under the third one. No, we're under the second one. We're under the son of Herod the Great, who was ruling when Jesus was born and killed the babies. And now this is his son. Yes, ma'am. He is called king. He is made king. He's from a neighboring country, and it's a we don't have time to go into this, but we will. Okay, they're not Jewish. They're Idumeans. Okay, they have Jewish blood, but they're not. Okay, so tell me, who is the line? What is the line of the kings? If you read, yes, good girl, Camille. Yes, the line of David. If you go back to the book of Kings and the book 1st and 2nd Kings and the book of Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, the line of David is the lineage of the kings. So really uneasy sits the crown on Herod's head. So he's the king. Now, they're also Greek educated. And they are wealthy, and they are concerned that the Romans stay in power. Why? So their kingship, their rule and reign will be secure. Okay, there is no religious belief under the Herods. Under the Pharisees, now they've studied the Bible, they believe the whole Old Testament, therefore they believe in resurrection, they believe in angels. This is the Pharisees. So now we know the Sadducees only believe in the Torah. They do not believe, and this means they're sad, you see. Mm-hmm. Or in angels. Resurrection or angels. I really invite you to move around if you need to see the board. Okay, I'm going to move back over here. This is all we need for right now. Okay? There is one other group, and I'm just going to mention it, and that's going to be the group that Judas is in, and these are the Zealots. The Zealots were revolutionaries. They would be terrorists today. They would come up and stab people in the back in a crowd. You'd never see them. They fade in and out. They are like cowboys and Indians. They're behind the rocks. And the zealots want to rid Israel of Rome. It's their highest priority. Judas Iscariot is a zealot. So when we come next semester to what happens to Judas, you have to remember this is where he's coming from. Okay, so now we have the Pharisees sending the Herodians, who are primarily political, right? Okay, so he's sending, the Pharisees are using the Herodians. And they say, first of all, they start out outwardly praising Jesus. I had someone who once told me that they give people three compliments before they tell them the truth. I've never trusted that person again. They start out saying, oh, Vicki, you're so good. But you're not go, one, two, wait for it, it's coming. So, you know, this is what they're doing. You know, teacher. Now, does Jesus think that's a compliment? That would be a no. He is not teacher. He is not prophet. Savior and King and Lord. Right? Okay. We know that you're truthful. Is he truthful? He is the truth. Good ginger. And teach the way of God in truth. And defer to no one. Oh, this is insulting. That's a real backhanded compliment. For you are not partial to any. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not? Now, they're going to assume that Jesus was flattered, and so they're going to trap him into falling into their question because he's going to relax a little bit. And the poll tax, of all the taxes, the Jews hated this one the most because it was yearly levied on each individual. And the Jews thought that since they belonged to God, they resented what this stood for. And the amount of the tax was a denarius. And a denarius was a coin that had Caesar's head on one side and the Roman SPQR stamp on the other. SPQR, who remembers what that stands for? Oh, come on, Latin scholars. Senate and the Roman people. Stamped on the other side. Okay, so the Jews use the word here to give because they didn't think paying taxes to Rome was a legitimate duty, and they did it with the utmost reluctance. But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, anytime you see "but Jesus," you need to pay attention. So Jesus in his omniscience, remember last week when we did all the qualities and the attributes of God, Jesus here knows their hearts. And he sees it. He said, knowing their evil intent, he says, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? He's got it. It's not a problem. He's not going to fall into the trap. And then he says, show me the coin. They brought him a denarius. Now, a denarius was also a day's wage. So imagine if your tax that you had to just hand over was everything you earned in a day. And you're living paycheck to paycheck. That's pretty significant. Now, remember, too, what were the other taxes that were levied on the Jews in Israel? The temple tax. Every Jew had to pay it. This is the only one of the Roman provinces that has two taxes. The Romans taxed for their roads, for the army to take care of the people, for the lack of war, for peace. That's what Romans thought they were owed money for from their provinces. They didn't have all, they would take care of you. And you had these wonderful aqueducts for water, and you had roads to travel on, and goods and services could come. So you paid taxes to support that. The Jews, however, thought you only had or required to pay taxes to support the temple. And they wouldn't let up on that tax. So the Jews heavily taxed the people of Israel, and that tax in large measure went to support the Levites in their wealthy lifestyle, the Herodians in their wealthy lifestyle, all came from the Jewish taxes. It didn't all go to the temple. It should have, but it didn't. And he said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's," because he's saying front and back, picture of Caesar, SPQR, you know, whose is it? And he says, "Caesar's." And then he says, "Then render to Caesar." Now, the word render here also means give. And they're saying, so in this translation, it's give back. To Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed. That means they were silenced. So they left him and went away. They were amazed at his wisdom, so they didn't have anything to say. Jesus' answer was that the paying of the tax was entirely lawful and a moral obligation. All things belong to God. All authority comes from him, and that was all of Romans 15. But he has decreed that a certain amount of what he entrusts to each person is to be paid to human governments as taxes. So he said, yes, dear. It is, but it's also SPQR.
What does that represent?
Senate and the Roman people. And it is on every banner and everything. It is the whole reason for the government. It will be Caesar's name, but he is only Caesar under the Senate and the Roman people. Okay, so you see a banner at Rome, and they'll have the big eagle, and then they'll have SPQR. That's right.
Yeah, but then it said son of divine Augustus. It was like, okay.
Well, we're not going to get into that yet because that's whether or not you worship Caesar. But Jesus is saying here that, because remember, this is not religious. This is going to be political. Do you pay this? Are you morally obligated to pay this? Okay. Did everybody else get that? SPQR, Senate and the Roman people. That's the whole government supporting the Caesar. Okay. So now, once he leaves... So now, wait a minute. What are the things that belong to God? Getting back to your question. What are the things that belong to God?
Everything.
Well, but there is something else that belongs to God. Worship. Worship belongs to God, so you do not worship God, but you give Caesar back his coin. It is Caesar's coin, and you give it back to him. Okay? Now, so, you know, one trap gone, political trap, Jesus answers. God institutes governments and expects us to pay taxes. If we were going to discuss, and we've done this before, the American Revolution, where would we fall? We would be zealots. We would. Okay. However, George Washington didn't leave that for us to talk about. Okay. Now, for the second trap. That same day, where is Jesus? He's still in the temple, girls. This is going to be important when we get to Thursday and when we get to his trials. He is still in the temple. And we're still on Wednesday. That's right. We're not anywhere else. We're still on Wednesday. That same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. Second trap. Lord Jesus? Teacher? They said, Moses told us, oh my goodness, the Sadducees are coming with Moses. Why would the Sadducees want to talk about Moses, girls? Who wrote the Torah? What do the Sadducees believe in? The Torah. They do not hold the whole Old Testament, the law and the prophets. I mean, the prophets part of the law and the prophets. They don't hold the prophets to be binding on them, only the Torah. So Moses is going to be the only leader they want to listen to. So Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for him. This is the Levirate law. Levirate meaning brother. It comes from Deuteronomy. And if I were going to be here longer, we would go into it, but we won't. If you want to read about it, you want to understand it, you would go to the book of Ruth. Okay. So, since women did not work and could not produce their own support, if a husband died, leaving a woman without children, why without children?
Because the sons could work.
So, or the daughter would marry and take her mother with her, leaving her without children. Then the brother-in-law, think about this. Do you want to marry your brother-in-law? Then the brother-in-law would marry her. They would have children. They would have children. And that child would be raised up to take care of that line. And then the brother's line doesn't die out. Okay, that's the Levirate law. Okay, so in this case, the widow is married to all seven brothers. And so the question is, which one in the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had married her. Now, the Sadducees assumed that all eight would appear in the resurrection in exactly the same condition and in the same circumstances in which they died. Therefore, how could Jesus reconcile this question and this relationship? And then we get to the same problem. And it is not in the NIV. It should say, but they left it out. But Jesus. The translators just decided to leave out the but. It's important.
Mm-hmm. But the Sadducees did not believe.
No. But they're just saying, so in the resurrection, if there is a resurrection, you know, I mean, they're trying to trap him because this is going to make the Pharisees mad. This is going to make the Sadducees mad. This is going to say that he, you know, they're giving him a situation he can't get out of. Okay. So, Jesus is far from stumped. He answers immediately, and he puts them on the defensive. But Jesus answered them, saying, you are mistaken. And that word is planao. It says you are in Arab, planao. And that means to go astray. It means to wander off. Because they erred in their understanding, and they erred in their understanding, we're going to see both in the knowledge of Scripture and in the powers of God. He said, you have wandered off, you're mistaken because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God. And here he now affirms the resurrection. At the resurrection. Yes, there is a resurrection. People will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like angels in heaven. Guess what? There are angels in heaven. But about the resurrection of the dead, and now he is going to go to the Torah. Have you not read? That's an insult. Have you not read what God said to you? I love this. I am, ergo eimi. It's the name of God, the name I am, that he gives to Moses at the burning bush. This is the phrase Jesus uses. The I am God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He did not say, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I am still, they are the living. He said, he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. So Abraham, does that just give you all chills? Isn't that wonderful? So when the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Now, who are the crowds? Who are the crowds? This is everybody standing around him. This is not just the Pharisees, the Herodians, or the Sadducees. Really worse than this, these are the people that these traps were meant to separate him from. I ended in a preposition, but I can't forget how to do that better. These are the common people. And they're going, whoa! And of course the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Herodians are going, well, darn. You know, he didn't fall into two traps. So, in the theological trap, Jesus answers, from the Torah. There are angels, resurrection, and even better than that, the I am is God of the living. And because of that, Joyce and I have great hope. Right, Joyce?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay. I am the God of the living. Okay. Third trap coming up. Okay. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. Now, can you imagine what that looks like? You know, we've just had, you know, whole political parties getting together and pulling our whole country in different ways. And the Sadducees are doing the same thing. They're manipulating all these people into not less turmoil than we've been in. Understand that Jesus brings conflict. And you don't think it's conflicting until you submit to him, and all of a sudden everything you thought that was peaceful and nice and you could go along to get along isn't quite so nice and peaceful, and you can't go along to get along anymore. You have to stand for Jesus. But isn't it wonderful to have a place to stand and a rock to stand on? That's our center, not the political arguments. Our center is Jesus. Okay. So, yes. I'm going to get there. Okay. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Now, here is a chance for him to make everybody mad. Everybody. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? By naming only one, they were hoping he would be so unorthodox as to discredit himself in front of everybody and for all time. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Jesus responded immediately, and this answer was in total accord with Moses and the Torah and with Jewish custom based on the law. So the Ten Commandments and the Shema is all wrapped up in this one. Where did I get that? Yep, here we go. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. So this is the law, the Ten Commandments, and the Shema. What is the Shema and where is it? Deuteronomy what? Deuteronomy 6. And it says what, Cindy?
Hear, O Israel.
Hear, O Israel, what? The Lord thy God is one. The Lord thy God is one God. And Jesus comes back to that. And he says this is the first and greatest commandment. And then he adds to it. And he adds to it something that's just fabulous. The second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, what does that mean? If you love God, if you love God, this is love. If you love God, if you love God, that love flows back and forth, then your relationships with everybody will have that love flow into them. Your relationships will be whole. Girls, when people are mean to other people and they're out trying to trap people, think about why Jesus said this. In the middle of these traps, he is saying, people who love God have whole relationships and love others. So, if you look at the first five commandments, are about, well, the first really five, because honor thy father and thy mother, that the land may, that your land may be. Love the Lord, love your, honor your father and mother, that your days, thank you, yes, in the land the Lord thy God has given thee. Yes, those whole first five are about your duty to God. The second five are about your duty that flows out of that to everybody else. So that's why Jesus is coming back to the love your neighbor. Because they could have possibly accused him of leaving out the second five, which we kind of don't realize. Okay, and then he says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Hey, Kathy, darling. So, what is the law and the prophets? All of the Old Testament. The law is the Torah, and the prophets is everything else. We don't really look at it like that, but they consider the Psalms, the histories, everything to be the prophets. So he's saying the Bible, as they knew it, hangs on these two commandments. And it does, doesn't it? Okay, all right, I'm almost through. I'm going to get there. Okay. Yes. While the Pharisees were gathered together, so now they're still there, now they're quiet, but they gathered together, Jesus now asked them a question. Jesus asked them, what do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? Whose son is he? The son of David, they replied. How is it, he said then? David, speaking by the Spirit, and where did he say this? Where is he speaking by the Spirit? Psalm what, Ginger? 110 verse 1. Psalm 110 verse 1. Written in 1000 BC, because that's when David lived. The Lord says to my Lord. Okay, I hate this. This is L-O-R-D. This is Yahweh. This is Jehovah. God of the covenant. The Lord said to my Lord, this word is Adonai, which means master, sir. The Lord said to my Lord, the Lord God said to my Lord, David's Lord. The man ahead, the person ahead of David, sit at my right hand. That is the position of power. God is giving this person who's over David, who is not God, who's not God, Jehovah, Yahweh, he is giving this person a position of power. God's power. Until I, God, put your enemies, put your enemies under your feet. Defeat them.
Under your feet to what?
That's defeating them.
Oh.
Well, you put somebody under your feet, you can trample on them. Oh, no, under your feet. Under your feet. When David calls him Lord, Adonai, how can the Lord be David's son? And no one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dare ask him any more questions. Okay, this is Wednesday. Thursday and Friday are coming. Okay, so let's look at this real quick because this is important for us. This is our applying this observation to our hearts. This theological question Jesus answers with Scripture. And it leads him to his own question. And what is that question? Who do you say I am? They did not know because they had not submitted to him. And remember that this problem is that Jesus is both human and divine. In his human nature, he can be from David's line. And we know that's true from both Mary and Joseph. They were both of David's line. And he is divine from the Holy Spirit. Girls, as you go to Christmas, remember what I have asked for you to do. To look at the baby in the manger, not lifting his arms to Mary, but lifting his arms to the cross. He came to die. He came to set you one with God. He came to take away your sins. He is both human and divine. This is hidden right here, written in 1000 BC, for Jesus to speak on this day. These are not coincidences. God plants this so that we can go back and see the fullness that he has for us. And our lives reflect the same kind of revelation of God's opening up of his plans for us. He says, I have a plan for you, a plan for good and not for evil, a plan to give you a future and a hope. And we cannot see that future or that hope, but we know the one who can. We know the one who holds it. And he is going to come as a baby to us at Christmas. So when we get together in January, we can begin to celebrate how as a human and God incarnate, he is going to save us from our own rebellion, from our being that person at the wedding feast who shows up in my own clothes because I will not do it God's way. I love you. God bless you. You're welcome. Elise? Cheers, baby.
Can we make you a
to-go
plate?
No, I'm got to go.
Okay. Can we pray with you real quick? Or do you just
no, I'm late. But I know you'll pray.
But we will pray.
I'm good. Thank you for yesterday. Yes, Dawn. Today, women can work, so they don't. Women can support themselves. Whoops. So they don't need.